This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
And off we go into hour number two. Ladies and gentlemen, here on the Rob Brown Show, it's the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one, Lonzo. We are absolutely elated to have you along with us this and every weekday morning from 6 until 10 a.m., the Wednesday edition, rolling on this a.m. We've been called worse repeatedly. We got a lot we got to get into coming up later on the show. Sweet 16, we'll make our picks for the next 2 days, by the way. I said last week that the first 4 days of the March Madness tournament, in my ever so humble opinion, are the best four consecutive days on the sports calendar. There is only one exception, and that is only if you're a big golf guy. The 4 days of the Masters might be up there with it. But, like, that's a fraction of the audience, right? The majority of us, the first four, and I'm a big golf guy. I throw a Masters party annually. The first 4 days of the March Madness tournament.
Why don't you go to the Masters?
Because I, A, don't know anybody that has passes, and B, am a poor.
That's surprising as a one percenter, or maybe former one percenter, as you've tried to make it out to be. You would think there would be some connections there.
You would think. If they are, they have not revealed themselves to me yet. And on top of that, you also got to keep in mind, like, people ordinarily have a ticket or a pair of tickets. You also have to recognize that when people do have a ticket, they're using it. Very few people, if they have a ticket, are separating from it. And if somebody has a pair of tickets, everyone in their life wants to go to that event. So in order to get an invite from somebody who has an extra ticket, of which there are not a ton, you've got to be power ranked number one on their favorite people list. And while I think I am top five on a lot of people's list, I'm number one in very few. I think the list is like my mom and my wife, and neither of them has tickets.
So you're not top five, and your boy who still on occasion calls us and tells us he's at this certain golf course and wishes you were there?
Oh, I'm sure as far as golf excursions, I absolutely am. You know what he doesn't have? Access to Masters passes.
That is surprising.
I'm not really.
Because dude seems to be everywhere else.
Listen, there's only a handful thousand of them, And as the over the years, the popularity of the Masters as a as an event that has become, I blame Tiger Woods for this, as golf became more mainstream and accepted, more and more people want to go. And now you're at a point in time where you have thousands of influencers who are in the market to buy tickets and can afford more expensive tickets. You can pay more for a ticket than I can, who want to go there just so they can film themselves in front of the you know, in front of the clubhouse before they turn in their phone to go onto the course.
I was going
to
say, I didn't think they could do that because of the
no, but you can
policy.
you can be there and you can go in and you can come out and talk about it. Now, I will tell you, one day, and I don't know when that day will be, one day, I will get the thumbs up as a media member on a pass to go cover the Masters. And I will tell you now, great one, I will not be here that Thursday and Friday. I will be in Augusta, Georgia. I may do the show from there, from like an Airbnb or a hotel or whatever. I may have to drive to Augusta every morning because it's cheaper to drive there from here in the AM, but I will not be here when I get approved.
I'm just curious because I don't know the answer to this, but as the guy who gets the call for all things around this area, and that would be in this area, does BetGM have, you know, some influence?
I don't know. You better believe, I mean, I'll be asking.
You might want to. I mean, that's just an avenue.
But here's the other the other angle of that.
Last I checked, you're on a nationally syndicated show.
I absolutely am.
And you do guest spots.
I absolutely am. And also on that note,
you are the expert of this area.
I don't disagree. And I would go so far as to say I'm the second best golf guy on that network. PJ Glasser's the only guy who knows more golf than I do. That dude can bet like Q school caliber golf, okay? However, you got Nick Costos, whose show is not just syndicated on the BetMGM network, but on the NBC Sports Network. You got Brad Evans on BetMGM Tonight, who has 1.25 million followers on X. You got like, you got Cody Decker. Like on the BetMGM network pecking order, I'm about ninth on the list of probably 10 on-air hosts. So if BetMGM got approved for, let's say, 2 media passes, the likelihood that even I am getting one is zero, because the people on that net who are more popular but don't care about golf would still go, I don't care about golf, but I'm going to Augusta.
See, I don't know if you've heard this before, but you're never going to get the approval if you don't ask.
Oh,
so why not ask?
The hilarious thing is the assumption that I haven't been trying for years. It with every avenue I have. I've been in the lottery. I've put out notices to my friends. Hey, I will carry your bags and pay for the gas and the hotel and all the food if you will hook me up with a ticket. I have gone through this station, old stations, nationally syndicated. I've tried everything. I just haven't gotten the thumbs up yet. It's like they don't know who I am.
What if you get there and it wasn't everything you expected to be?
There's a 0.01% chance that is going to be what it is.
Maybe the joy is in the chase when it comes to this, not the end game.
I don't think so, because I know zero people who have been to the Masters and haven't said walking the grounds at Augusta makes you feel like you're in like Notre Dame Cathedral.
Yeah, but maybe it's more about being there and saying you were there than it is actually being there, so you don't want to jeopardize not getting to go back just because of the people, because it's a status symbol. Saying, oh yeah, I went to the Masters.
National golf writer Jay Busby, friend of the show, who covers the PGA for Yahoo Sports, covers this event annually. He's the Yahoo's number one golf guy. He gets sent every year. And I saw him because last year I went to the U.S. Open up at Pinehurst number 2 in North Carolina. And I got, for the first time in the, at that point, 16 years that I've known Jay and had Jay on the show as a repeated guest, first time I ever got to shake his hand in person. And we had a beer and lunch together in the VIP catering tent, because I did get VIP tickets to that. And I was like, hey, Augusta, do you ever get tired of going? And his response was, not just no, but hell no. He's like, every time you walk that course, it's like, golly, man, the history that's been made here. The history. And again, I do think it is part of being a golf guy, but I also, again, I know people who don't give a gosh darn about golf and go to this thing anytime they get tickets, because they happen to know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, and they get tickets, and it's hollow grounds, man. It's hollow grounds. So I'll put it this way. I do have a friend of mine who has access to tickets for the par 3 competition they do on Wednesday. Right, so all the golfers go out there and they only play the par threes. It's a Wednesday tradition at the Masters. You do not get to see the whole course, great one. You only get to go to the par threes. You do not get to walk Amen Corner. You do not get to go. You get to go in the clubhouse. You get to walk the par threes, and that's it. And I told this individual, if you get passes again this year, I want them. I will go with you. I will take a Wednesday off from the show to drive to Augusta to walk four holes of Augusta just to experience it. That's how big of a deal it is.
Haven't had any, just in a really long time, golf stuff show up on X, and now here it is.
Hey, man, I'm an influencer.
Wow.
I'm an influencer. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it is 7:08 in the morning. You have 52 minutes before you got to get your bootay up, showered, dressed, in the car, on the road, to work, sit down in front of the desk, get logged in, punch in, do all the stuff you got to do before you get to the highlight of your day, which is to take that very first break, to walk on down the hallway, to go to the break room, to stand in that little corner where the lights aren't really on, that the boss can't see you, and to talk sports with your coworkers. And when that happens, you need to know what's going on in the world of golf and soccer and hockey and baseball and football and basketball and all the sports that we know and love. You are going to need this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this morning and talk sports with your coworkers. When you do, this is what you will be getting into. Let us dive right in with item number one. We are getting towards the end of the NFL's free agency blitz. We have started to see the last few of the big names sign deals. Really just one or two left that we are waiting to see whomst, if any, team they will join. But yesterday, one of the biggest remaining names, actually, I should say two of the biggest remaining names, came off the board. Russell Wilson has reached an agreement with the New York Football Giants, a one-year deal up to $21 million in value, including 10.5 guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter. The 10-time Pro Bowl selection have been in discussions with the Giants, the Browns, and contract negotiations with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but has opted for New York. Of course, he won Super Bowl XLVII. I'm going to say 38, I think is right. 38? Let's say 38. XLVII in MetLife. I still don't know. I should learn
Roman numerals. Even if I did know, I wouldn't say it because you're having so much fun trying to figure it out.
It's like the annual thing whenever the Super Bowl rolls around. I say how much I'm going to, like, I'm gonna learn this one day. I'm going to learn Roman numerals. Can we... The NFL should have taken one big opportunity, which was when we got to Super Bowl 50, they should have stopped with the Roman numerals after that. They should have stopped.
But here's the problem. I mean, I learned Roman numerals in school. You probably did too.
Because the Romans were still around. Well, hey-o!
And because of that...
That was rude, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It didn't hurt like you think it would. It's the only place you ever see them.
Yeah, it is.
So if you have a chance to keep a dead...
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to say language because it's not. How would you say that?
Numerical system.
Okay, dead numerical system, alive. Why would you want to kill it?
Off the top of my head, there's only one other place that I know that we utilize Roman numerals frequently, and that is at the end of people's names when they are the third or the fourth or whatever. But, like, I don't know anyone that is beyond blankety blank the fourth. Like, I know one person who is the fourth. I am the third. Right? So, like, my initial is Rob Brown, I. But that's the only other place I know we use Roman numerals, and I don't have to go past IV for that. With the Super Bowl, I read these, and I'm like, Super Bowl! Okay. Super Bowl, XXL. X is 10. L is 20, so that's 30. And then the V is 5. But then the three I's go after, so that's 8. But if they go before, it's you count the... It's dumb and I hate it. At 50, they should have changed to regular numbers. That's just me. Anyway, MetLife Stadium is the site where Russell Wilson won his Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. He put up a social media post yesterday saying, been here before, can't wait to do it again. Hashtag MetLife at Giants. The agreement between Wilson and the Giants eliminates New York as a potential option this season for Aaron Rodgers. It also leaves Rodgers and the Steelers in a position to negotiate a contract if he decides that A, he wants to be there, and B, he wants to come back. There is one more option for Aaron Rodgers. Great one. Which is, don't sign with anybody. Stay a free agent. Wait till a QB1 goes down somewhere around the league for a contender who's then willing to pay you a gazillion dollars for half a year of work to come in and try to save their season.
Which, by the way, is what Kirk Cousins, I think, said he's doing.
Yeah. And probably not an awful call, to be honest with you. Not an awful call. The other big move that got made yesterday, Drake May has a new number one target. Four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs and the New England Patriots reached an agreement on a three-year, $69 million deal that includes $26 million guaranteed. The 31-year-old is rehabbing an ACL injury he suffered in week 8 of last year with the Houston Texans, but according to ESPN, is expected to be able to return for week 1 of this season. At the point that he went down, Diggs ranked 7th in the NFL in catches, was 2nd on the Texans in receiving yards. CJ Stroud had a passer rating of 104 and completing 73% of his passes when targeting Diggs last year. The Patriots made a play for Chris Godwin in free agency, but Godwin decided he wants to stay and finish his career in Tampa. It left them in need of a number one wide receiver. Here's the thing. They also desperately need an offensive line, and I believe this is the very first time that you have seen what I am calling the new philosophy, the Roseman philosophy of putting together an NFL team. If you have a young quarterback, go grab you a bunch of offensive linemen, young offensive linemen, draftable, moldable offensive linemen to build an offensive lineman for your quarterback. Go get your skill talent through free agency and trades. Looks like that's what the Patriots are doing. So Russell Wilson signs with the Giants. Stephon Diggs signs with the Patriots yesterday. Let's get to item number 2. Alex Ovechkin hit a snipe shot wrister from the left circle yesterday, his 889th goal of his career, now 6 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's NHL record. Hit the tying goal in the third period of what would become a 3-2 win, or excuse me, a 3-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets in the extra season. It was Ovechkin's 36th goal of the season, on pace to hit 40 goals for the 14th time in his career, which is the most in league history. He holds the record already with 13, on pace to get to 14 and elevate that record. He did this despite a broken freaking leg earlier in the season that caused him only to miss a couple of weeks. But Avi gets another one last night, just 6 more remaining. And if you haven't already, you better start making Washington Capitals games must-see TV on the television schedule. Let's wrap it up with item number 3. Couple of interesting games last night. The South Carolina baseball team dropped a series on the road, dropped a series against Oklahoma at home last weekend. Took a 5-8 L in the opener, got an 11-5 revenge game on Saturday. On Sunday, an extra innings 5-6 loss in 10. They went and got a game over the College of Charleston. They took on Arkansas in a 3-game set, got swept by the Razorbacks, and then last night in a neutral field site up in Charlotte, North Carolina, they took on the UNC Tar Heels and took another L. South Carolina coming a little bit untied, unglued on the diamond right now. As far as the game itself went last night, Brandon Sweeney took to the bump, went 1 inning, 1 strikeout, 4 batters faced, no hits allowed. Then you ended up having a parade of pitchers that went to the bump. South Carolina used 12 pitchers in their effort last night. Nobody went more than 1 inning. A handful of guys like Zach Russell, who did not record a single out despite facing 3 batters. You had a couple of other guys like Parker Mladd, who had 0.1 innings pitched. Aiden Palmer had 1. Roman Kimball had 0.2 innings pitched. It was not a good night off the bump for the Gamecocks last night. They take an L to North Carolina. It drops the Gamecocks to 17-9 on the season. Over on the other side, the number three ranked Clemson Tigers had a midweek game against the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers at Doug Kingsmore Stadium. I want you to know, I got asked to host BetMGM tonight midway through the day yesterday. If I didn't, there was a very good chance I was driving down to go to this game. A top 25 matchup, and Coastal Carolina takes the win 8-2 over Clemson last night. Coastal turned three double plays, allowed 2 of 12 base runners to score in their victory last night. Took a 1-0 lead in the season series. They are now 18-7. The Tigers drop to 23-4. The two teams will match up one more time in Conway on May 6th. Three-run dingers by Sebastian Alexander and Blagan Pato in the third inning gave Coastal a 6-0 lead. The Chanticleers added a run in the top of the fifth to take a 7-0 lead before Clemson started to be able to find the board, but just a couple of innings. Oliver Ellison earned the win, pitched into the fifth inning. Tiger starter Noah Samol, 0-1, took the L. The Tigers will conclude their 16-game season opening homestand by playing Presbyterian tonight at 6 p.m., trying to get the caravan pointed in the right direction before they end up starting, or I should say jumping back into ACC play moving forward. Just four losses, not a time to push the panic button for Clemson, but they do have a decent Georgia Tech squad lined up over in Atlanta in a three-game set this weekend. We'll check in on the Diamond next week on the show. But both South Carolina and Clemson taking midweek L's last night. All right, we got a lot more we got to get into as the show rolls on. The Rob Brown Show, Rob Alonzo and you, it's the Fan Upstate. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. It is Rob. It is Lonzo. It is you. 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line. 844-326-3663. Shoot us a text on the Hub City Spartan Burger text line or shoot us a call at 844-326-3663 if you want to come at us in that direction. A couple of weeks ago, we got to talking about further conference expansion and realignment. And I floated an idea. This was like 3-4 weeks ago. I floated an idea. And the idea that I floated was for the Atlantic Coast Conference. If they wish to remain relevant, and if they wish to remain in existence, then they should be working on at the very least, partnership, but preferably a merger with the Big East. And my philosophy was, you are beyond the ability. This is true really for the Big 12 and the ACC. You are beyond the ability to keep up with the Big 10 and the Southeastern Conference in terms of football. Can't do it. They have claimed everybody that can be claimed, and whoever is left, and I'm talking about Florida State, I am talking about Clemson, even the folks that are left for picking, the teams in the ACC as early as probably 2031, as late as 2036, the teams in the Big 12 who are locked in until the early 2031 period, 32 period, whatever their GOR expiration year is, and then maybe they could be available, they're all going to the Big 12. Or they're going to the Big Ten, or they're going to the SEC because they're going to get paid the most there. And at the end of the day, that's what this decision is about. So the thought that I had was, if the ACC wants to exist, what they ought do is have a merger with the Big East. And they should set their goal on becoming the best basketball conference in America. Now, that might be tough to do because look at the SEC right now. 14 teams make the tournament. 13 of them make the field of 64. 7 of them make the Sweet 16. All of those numbers are records. Can that stay for a long time? I don't know, because like I said, the SEC did something that college basketball teams, I think, have started to figure out, which is, doesn't matter what the personality of the coach is, you better have a coach with personality. Dan Hurley, Rick Pitino, John Calipari, those are guys in and out of the SEC that I think qualify for that statement. Kevin Willard at Maryland. These are all guys that kind of qualify in that thought system. Well, here's the interesting story. Dan Hurley was in a post-game press conference. This was, I believe, after the opening round of the NCAA tournament. And I am shocked and disappointed in myself that I heard this clip yesterday afternoon for the very first time. I mean, it's not, but I see where you're going with it, Dano. But effectively, Dan Hurley saying that the idea I had 3 weeks ago is a conversation that has happened. Now, I don't know how high up that conversation has gone. Hurley said, I've texted with Coach K about it. He thinks it's a good idea. Dan Hurley said, I've had conversations with people in the Big East about it. Did they take it seriously? Did they listen to him? Again, I don't know. But it does feel like it's the right move. And when you have a voice as influential as a guy that is a two-time reigning defending undisputed college basketball national champion, when you have a guy that is a face of the college basketball landscape now openly discussing that whether or not the conversation is happening, it should happen, I got to think you got to lend some credibility there. Now, I will say this. As much as I think it's a good idea, as much as I think the ACC would gain immense benefit, incalculable benefit, by partnering with the Big East, whether it is via merger or whether it is some sort of partnership on the hardwood, whatever. Whatever the way they go about it is, I think the ACC benefits. I will also say this. I feel kind of weird having this conversation. And I feel kind of weird about having this conversation because is there anyone, Lonzo, my boss, Diesel and Cole, or any one of you out there amongst the Armada and the Tolos, are there any of you that believe in the year of 2032, which is simultaneously 27 years and 4 days away? Are there any of you believing that in 2032, the Clemson Tigers are in the ACC? Because I don't. I don't. I think the muscle flexed by Clemson and Florida State in order to come up with an arrangement with the ACC where the buyout money and the fact that a buyout now does allow you to keep your GOR, which it did not up until a few weeks ago, was done because Clemson and Florida State told the ACC, look, here's the deal. We are gone one way or the other. And if it's 2036, we will wrap you up in litigation annually every single day. You will lose more money in the court system fighting us than you will gain from us being unwilling members of this conference. I think those two schools are gone. And so it kind of feels like it's almost pointless for me to sit here and discuss the fact that Dan Hurley, maybe the face of college basketball right now, that may or may not change this year, Dan Hurley sat on a mic a couple of days ago and gave you the exact same take that I had, which is the ACC and the Big East should merge or at least partner up, and they should create the most powerful basketball entity because they're never going to keep up with football. Half the teams in the Big East don't have a football program. The ACC is going to lose probably their top three, maybe four, in Florida State, Clemson, Miami, and down the road, I would bet North Carolina. Probably also mean Duke goes with them. Now, if they do lose Carolina and Duke, this whole Big East ACC thing probably doesn't even matter. Because those are, between those two conferences, arguably, even if not the most successful right now, the biggest two brands that they would bring to the table. But this feels like a weird conversation to have. Because I'm sitting here having a discussion about what the ACC can do to survive, which has become the dominant basketball conference. And even if this is only relevant for February and March of every year, it will give you a leg up on funding that the Big 12 and the Pac-2 and the other conferences just don't have. On the flip side, I also believe by 2032 it won't matter because there will be so few ACC fans in the audience because Clemson won't be there anymore. So, like, am I wasting my breath talking about the survival of the ACC when we all know good and gosh darn well that in 2032 Clemson will be either a Big Ten or an SEC player? I don't know. I've thought about it. It feels like it's something we're talking about, but also not at the exact same time. We got a lot more we got to get into. Dame Lillard, done for the year, probably. The Milwaukee Bucks have said he's out indefinitely. He's got the exact same situation Victor Wembanyama has, that they shut him down for the year. We got to talk NBA later on in the show. The Thunder have reached 60 wins, first team to do so. I got an MLB, AL, and AL preview for you, including my MVP and Cy Young picks, and a whole lot more. The Rob Brown Show, the every sports show, continues next on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob the Great Malonzo and you. Hub City Spartanburgers text line 844-326-3663. Shoot us a text 844-326-3663. Or use that same number to call in and be on the radio broadcast. I am kind of interested in the moves over the past couple of weeks in the NFL and how they're going to impact and shape the NFL draft. And the reason why is because with the Carolina Panthers sitting at number 8 and having so many needs to go grab in this draft, I'm kind of intrigued by how it might fall for them. Because I think the Panthers are in a very interesting spot right now. In that, I'm not a best player available guy or a draft specifically by need guy. I believe the truth, like many things, lies somewhere in the middle. I think that you got to find a balance between the best player who fills a need. That's to say, if you got three positions that are needs and you get to a point where there's a guy at all three positions available for your pick that's graded out well for that position, you take whichever one of those three guys is the best player available at that point in time. So I think Carolina's at a very nice spot at number 8 because there's going to be a lot of top 10 caliber picks that are available in that spot that you could go grab. The Tennessee Titans, it's looking like, are locking in on Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami. I'm not ready to write Will Levis off as a starter. I'm not. But it looks like they want to go Cam Ward. That's good for Carolina. And it's good for Carolina because it is one spot that somebody's going to fall, whether it's an Abdul Carter or somebody else. One spot that somebody's going to fall. Cleveland becomes very interesting at number 2. Again, I don't like Cam Ward to Tennessee. I'm not ready to give up on Will Levis. The Tennessee Titans had a bottom 3 offensive line in the NFL last year. They graded out on Pro Football Focus to like a 27 out of 100. That's, I'm not a numbers guy, but that's not, what's the word I'm looking for here? Good at all. So I'm not giving up on Will Levis because we saw some flashes. And then we also saw moments where Will Levis was on both knees with his hands outstretched to the football gods asking for mercy. I blame that on the Titans organization. A Titans organization that, by the way, that fired their head coach the year before that in a move that Lonzo and I both collectively and consensus disliked in moving on from Mike Vrabel. I think the Patriots are going to benefit from that. I got a problem with the Titans as a franchise. By
the way, I think the Patriots have already benefited, and they haven't even taken the field yet.
That's fair. It's fair. This franchise is not a good one, so I'm not giving up on Will Levis. But it does lead me to believe that the Titans are probably going to go, even though I don't like it, with Cam Ward. But that's fine by me if I'm a Carolina Panther fan, because that's one spot out in front of them that nobody's going to take a position player off the board. Now, the second reason that I think that that's good news is because I don't think that there are going to be any teams that are going to give up a king's ransom to move up for Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. I think there are teams inside that top seven ahead of Carolina that may draft quarterbacks. I do think Tennessee's one of them. But I don't think anybody's going to trade up and grab them, which means that I need the teams inside the top seven to take and roll the dice on Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Because if they do not, I don't think anybody is giving up a wealth of picks to move up and get those guys ahead of Carolina, which means that that's potentially up to two additional position players that come off of the board before Carolina gets to their pick at number eight. So last night, Horvy and I kind of did an on-the-spot, on-the-fly mock draft of how we think this thing is going to shake up before Carolina comes on the clock. We both agree that while it is a bad decision, we think Tennessee's going to go with Cam Ward. I don't know what Cam Ward's going to be at the NFL. I do know if he's behind that offensive line, I don't have high expectations. Same for Will Levis. Not on them. It's out of the franchise. Number two is Cleveland. Interesting spot here. A team that has a ton of needs. A team that needs a quarterback. Because we've given up on Deshaun, right? Like both as a person and as a player, we've given up on Deshaun. So you got to move on. I don't know that you have a quarterback in the room that I trust. And on top of that, Cleveland, maybe more than any other team in the league right now, needs to do something to build up some goodwill with their fan base. They got to do something. Grabbing a guy that they believe will be a franchise quarterback would probably be, even if it's not the right guy, it at least would buy them some time with a fan base that could be talked into thinking, okay, like this is a possibility. The best possible outcome for Carolina would be Cleveland drafting Shedeur Sanders at number two. However, I don't think they're going to. I think Cleveland comes off the clock with Travis Hunter. Why? Because there are two more positions they need outside of quarterback. Number one is cornerback. The other is wide receiver. You can cover both of those bases. Now, I do think Travis Hunter, when he gets to the league, is going to be a primarily one side of the ball, occasionally both sides of the ball guy. I don't think he's going to be a two-way guy. I don't think he's going to play offensive and defensively on both sides of the football. I think he's going to play primarily one side or the other and then occasionally fill in. And I do think it will be more predicated on what the roster that he's drafted to looks like than it is what he does. If he goes to a roster that is heavy on DBs, he'll play wide receiver. If he goes to a team that's got a handful of wide receivers, he'll play corner. And then he'll fill in on the other side of the ball. But I think that the other thing here is, while Shedeur might be the right call for Cleveland, Travis Hunter is also going to be a guy that gives them that little bit of a good publicity boost that they need. He's a marquee guy. Let's move to the Giants, pick number three. The pick that I had there was Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan, or Armon Membu, the offensive guard slash tackle from Mizzou. I personally would like to see the Giants go offensive line. I think that's a failure of theirs. And whether it's Russell Wilson for a couple of years or Jameis Winston for a couple of years, or this is just a stopgap, because again, both of those guys are signed to either a one-year deal in the case of Russell Wilson or a two-year deal that is structured much like Kirk Cousins got a four-year deal, but I told you it was structured to be cut after two. Jameis Winston got a two-year deal that is structured to get cut after one. They got two guys on the roster for a year, which means to me the Giants are looking at quarterback next year. Well, if I'm going to go quarterback next year and I'm subscribing, as I do now, to the Howie Roseman philosophy, I want to go ahead and build up my offensive line now so that whoever my guy is next year at QB, whether it's a vet I pick up in free agency or via trade or a guy I draft coming out of college, I got an offensive line already built in front of him. I'm kind of interested there. Whoever of those two guys, Mason Graham or Armon Membu, isn't drafted by the New York Giants, I think the other will be drafted to the New England Patriots at number four. I think same situation. Patriots were 31st in pass block win rate last year. They won 51%. If you rushed Drake May, you got to him 50% of the time. This is what I mean when I say some young quarterbacks are drafted into situations where it doesn't matter how good they are, they can't win. If a quarterback is being hurried on 50% of his passes, I don't care if you got prime Brady back there. You're going to have a struggle. So I think they go line. And I think it's offensive, but they could be defensive. We'll see. Whatever's left. At five, I got Jacksonville going with Abdul Carter. This is the first ouch pick off the draft for the Panthers, because this is a guy I'd very much like to have in Carolina. Now, I do think Jacksonville, probably looking offensive line, probably looking at wide receiver, we'll find out. But I do think they're going to go there. The Raiders, yesterday, this was an interesting one. Horvat and I both agreed that Ashton Jante is a very interesting pick. I actually like Amarian Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina, a lot, almost as much as I like Ashton Jante. But Jante's one of those guys, one of those running backs, that has that, you can just watch him and see it, knack of taking a hit and keeping his balance. He's like Alvin Kamara, right? You can hit Kamara, and Kamara finds a way to kind of like spin and somehow, like a cat, maintain his balance. That's Ashton Jante. Las Vegas needs a running back. They need a dynamic running back. There's your guy. And that brings us to number seven, the New York Jets. The Jets have their quarterback now. The Jets drafted offensive line last year with Olufoshana, who has been pretty good. I think the Jets are going offensive line. Here's why I bring this up, and we'll ask Rashad Beard about this tomorrow. I think the Jets are locked in with Justin Fields. I think that takes them out of play if one of the two quarterbacks, including Shedeur Sanders, falls here. But what I do think they have to do is go offensive line. Because if you're in on Justin Fields, and it looks like they are, if you're in on Justin Fields, you have got to give him a better chance at success than the Bears did and the Steelers did. How do you do that? Roseman philosophy. Go get offensive line. I got them taking Will Campbell, the offensive tackle slash guard out of LSU. And that puts the Carolina Panthers on the block. If the Carolina Panthers are on the block at this spot, there's a couple of guys I like. Mykel Williams, edge rusher out of Georgia. I like that spot. I like Will Johnson, the cornerback out of Michigan, in that spot. I'd like to see Carolina go wide receiver. Tet McMillan has probably fallen a little farther than I think he would in a lot of years. Kid out of Arizona. But I don't think you can go wide receiver when there are still names on the board. And the name on the board that we got to last night for Carolina, based on the draft that Ryan Horvath and I were putting together, is Jaylen Walker, the linebacker slash edge rusher out of Georgia. The Panthers were sixth in yards allowed per play in 2023. They averaged 5 yards allowed per play. Last year, they allowed 6 yards per play. That was last in the NFL. Now, obviously, Brian Burns got let go. Obviously, Derek Brown played only one game before his knee blew up. Obviously, you had other guys who were spot injured, and you were constantly rotating in first-time starters, in and out, in and out, in and out. You'd like to hope there's consistency and less injury for the Panthers on the defensive side of the football. But this is a kid who last season for the Dogs, and remember, Georgia the last few years, including last year, is stocked with NFL draft players. I just gave you another one. Mykel Williams right there is another one of those guys. Georgia might have 3, maybe 4 defenders off the board in the first 2 rounds of the NFL draft this year. That's just kind of the program that has been built by Kirby Smart in Athens. They got Malachi Starks. I think he's a first-round draft pick, etc. This is a cat that got you 7 sacks for Georgia last year. This is a guy who got you 7 tackles for a loss last season. He is, and this is what I like the most, for a team that plays a 3-4, but hybrids into a 4-3 a lot. For a team that plays a 3-4, but loves to walk a weak side linebacker up to the line and make a de facto 4-3, Jaylen Walker is that guy. He is, I wish I could remember who it was. But somebody earlier in the week referred to him as an agnostic defender. That is to say, I don't really believe, he doesn't really believe he's a true edge guy or a true linebacker guy. He really can kind of go either direction. He believes he can play in either spot. Hands in the ground as an edge rusher, stood up outside as an outside backer.
Wow, that I really description, like that. I've never heard that.
I've never heard it used either, and I really like it. An agnostic defender. He does not believe in himself as an edge rusher. He does not believe that he is a stand-up linebacker. He is somewhere in the middle and can be used as both. I wish I could remember who it was who called him that, because I love the terminology. But what I do like is the versatility. I could put his hands in the dirt and play him as an undersized. He's only like 6 foot one, 220 or something like that. He's not a big guy, but he's very quick off the football. So I trust that I can put his hand in the dirt, have him play a true edge rusher in a 4-3. And he will be quick enough to beat most offensive tackles. I also believe at 6'1", I can drop him back into a 3-4. I can have him play an outside backer. I can utilize him in an under zone coverage and also as a stand-up edge rusher off the edge. Jalen Walker is the guy I mocked last night with Horvat to end up with the Panthers, and I really like him in that spot. We'll talk with Rashad Beard tomorrow at 8:40 and see if he lines up with that pick and how he feels about it. Coming up on the show today, we got your audio blitz next. Best audio we've picked up since yesterday. Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joins us here in a little under an hour to catch us up on the Bunnies. They got a big Friday nighter coming up. Out of playoff contention, unfortunately. But that means this team gets to play free and fast hockey the rest of the year. We'll talk with Benetti, see where they are, and more. All of that comes after Lonzo seduces you with the Sports Flash.
By the way, when Rob said mocked, he didn't mean like made fun of. He's talking about mock draft. Just in case, why would he mock the guy he was talking to? I don't know why he would do that. Russell Wilson will be QB1 for the New York Giants next year after signing a one-year, $21 million deal. The 10-time Pro Bowler passed on signing a new contract with Pittsburgh or the Browns in order to head to New York. Wilson will join Jameis Winston, who signed a two-year, $8 million deal with the team last week. Four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs has signed a three-year, $69 million deal with the New England Patriots. Diggs is rehabbing an ACL tear sustained in Week 8 of last season with the Texans, but was ranked 7th in catches and 2nd in team receiving yards at that point. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel Ride Shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, all Wire to Wire.